It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeart Radio app. My name is Rob Sanders. Normally, I fly in here solo, but if I'm going to have a partner, man, it's great to have LaVon Kirkland, the former Clemson linebacker, also played in the NFL for a little bit too, right, LaVon?
Yeah, just a second.
Just a second?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course, with the Steelers, and if I remember correctly, you played with the Seahawks as well, right?
I played with the Seahawks and with the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's right, yeah. So you were you had a career across the country, basically.
Yeah, you know, I stayed in Pennsylvania for the majority of it, and then I flew to the very, very Northwest, and it was a lot of fun. Had a great time.
Yeah, but of course, I've got you in here today because the NFL playoffs are coming up, but obviously you did some other things too. You coached with Bruce Arians.
Yes, I did.
That's a very interesting guy, right?
Bruce is a very interesting guy.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so I thought we'd talk a little bit about that because he is trying to climb that playoff mountain and how he dealt with the Antonio Brown situation earlier this season. I kind of want to get into that too. There are just a lot of things that we can talk about today here on the Rundown. But I got to start with the ACC. And, of course, if you want to chime in on the show, 803-978-1832. LaVon will take questions about his career and, of course, the stuff that we're talking about today. But you kind of got to lead with the ACC today because their commissioner says the membership of the ACC is very much aligned in its position that there now is not the time to expand the college football playoff.
Wow.
First of all, What do you think of that as far as the playoff goes? And do you think that we should expand?
I think we should expand. Mm-hmm. And it's really all for selfish reasons. Mm-hmm. And the reasons are that, thank you. And the reasons are because I just want to see more playoff football. And I think that in a lot of ways, college is the only sport. College football is the only sport that really punishes you for just losing one game. So if you're not maybe in the SEC or something like that, then if you lose that one game, it might be it for you. It might be all over. But I like to expand. I've really been wanting to expand.
Do you want to do the 8 teams or the 12 teams or?
I would like to do the 12 teams. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know some people say, well, the matchups won't be all well, but you don't really know until you play on the field. You never know, and I think it would make it more interesting as it gets to the championship game. I think right now it's pretty obvious usually who's going to be probably in the championship game, but I think having 12 teams would just make it more interesting, and that's the only reason why I want a playoff.
Well, that makes you think that, okay, maybe that's what the ACC sees here. I know if I'm in the SEC,
right.
I don't want 12 teams.
Right, right, right.
I think that kind of waters it down. But for me personally, I kind of like the four.
Right.
And my reasoning for liking the four is that I want the cream of the absolute crop there. I don't want the number 12 team in the country to theoretically have a shot to win the national title. This doesn't work with me.
I tell you that I do. It is only for selfish reasons. And the selfish reason is that I just want to watch more football. But I can understand your viewpoint of it.
Sure.
And I think you do have a great point because, yeah, you know, a lot of teams, it's just going to be a blowout city and not very interesting for a lot of the casual fans. But for a guy like me who's a football head, I'd like to see more.
LaVon's been on our show before, and we've talked about how he likes to watch football, which is kind of interesting.
Yes.
We may get into that later on. But, of course, you're welcome to call in 803-978-1832. Proud to have this gentleman in studio with us. His playing career is outstanding. We could read that, but that would take up the entire show. But I thought I'd bring you in today just to talk football and stuff, and then we can go from there. But that was the first thing that I had there was the idea of the playoff and the expansion of it. Let's talk about the bowl games for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I've angered some listeners in saying that bowl games don't matter.
Right.
At this juncture. Do you feel that way?
You know, I think from a fan standpoint and for guys like me and you that are really basically focusing in on the championship. You may say that, but I guarantee you that fans that of their college team, you know, they like the fact that their team is in a bowl game and they're interested. But it is a different trend now where guys, if they're not playing in the playoffs, guys on the team, the players, they don't really seem to be interested. And they're like, hey, listen, I'm going to sit this one out and wait for my NFL career. So it's different than when I played. When I played, you know, we were happy to be in a bowl game. But I can see it now because it's a championship game, and it brings so much attention that sometimes you think, well, it's championship or bust. But I kind of like the bowl system. It's cool, especially if my team is not that great and don't have a chance to be in the championship. I get at least to see them on a level and see them win that bowl game. But like I said before, I can understand where somebody might be like, you know, hey, I'm not even interested in that. I want to watch the championship and the semi-championship or semi.
I got a question from a couple of folks here from YouTube. He says, ask LaVon how important Joel Steed was in keeping him clean from offensive linemen. Can you help me with that? I don't know what he's talking about.
Oh, Joel Steed was our nose guard. He was a guy from Colorado. We came out the same year. I was drafted second. He was drafted third. Leon Searcy was drafted first. We all were starters the very next year. But, yeah, man, Joel Steed is probably one of the best nose guards that you've never heard of. He did an excellent job in the R3-4 scheme in stopping guys from getting off on me and Chad Brown, the other linebacker. So he was tremendous. Very strong, very underrated as a player, man, was outstanding.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's people don't really remember the nose guards very much.
No, you don't, especially back then. You know, nose guards wasn't really important or glamorous position, but for us, it was very important, and he was a great guy. He was a guy who can really play. But you know what the funny thing is, though? He really didn't talk to a lot of people. He basically, the only person he talked to is guess who?
Was that probably you?
It was me. I was really one of the only guys that he really talked to very deeply.
Right.
Other than that, a lot of guys did not talk to a lot of guys. So, and he was one of the smartest men that I knew. Very intelligent. I mean, he read maybe 5 books a month. I mean, the guy was a smart, very smart guy. So it was kind of cool to have him. And I mean, he understood his role. He did his role. He didn't really care about the fame and fortune. But you know what? He was a Pro Bowl player. He got voted in the Pro Bowl one year.
Yeah, I tell you what, that's kind of an interesting thing, too. When I look at the Pro Bowl, and you made a couple of Pro Bowls yourself. Is that something that that was a big deal to a lot of guys in the locker room?
Yeah, it was tremendous. Yeah. Making a Pro Bowl, that means, you know, that's basically saying that you're the cream of the crop in the NFL where the one percenters are in, you know. So to stand out even a little bit more than just being an NFL player was a tremendous honor. I knew that, man, you know, I was going against guys like Junior Seau, Ray Lewis at the inside linebacker position. So for me to get in there 2 years in a row and to be 1 year, be the starter in a Pro Bowl and be an all pro was a tremendous honor for me. So every guy that's ever played professional football wants to be a Pro Bowler.
But is that something, and you mentioned that that's a big deal, but I mean, when you get that moniker and you come into the locker room with it, I mean, that there's some weight with that, right?
Oh, yeah, it speaks volumes.
Yeah.
It speaks volumes. You can be a leader. You can be a vocal guy, or maybe not, but you definitely get the respect of everybody in the room. And not only that, you get the respect of everybody in the league to get voted for. I mean, it's really a hard deal to get in there. I mean, it's only certain slots that get in there. In my position, I think we only had maybe like 4 guys to get in out of all the guys in the AFC. So it was a little tough. Yeah. It really was.
Is there a lot of when you come to, like, everybody has a Pro Bowl team now, but when you have like the all pro stuff, I mean, do you think that you had to be kind to writers to get them to vote for you?
Not necessarily. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. I know there was some. I mean, you think about the guys back in our day, like, I mean, the Lawrence Taylors, guys like that, I'm sure they weren't always friendly. Greg Lloyd wasn't always friendly to the press. There are a lot of guys that may not have been friendly to the press. I was always friendly to the press, but that's just the way I grew up, to respect others. But No, you don't necessarily have to be a friendly guy to the press to get voted in. You don't really have to be a great guy to be in the Hall of Fame. But it does help.
It does help.
If you are a great guy and you're friendly to the media, it really does. But I didn't think you had to be that friendly to the media. But I was always, like I said before, I was always a guy that was always available. I would always treat people with respect. But I've seen sometimes when your very best guys are like, whatever. And, you know, they're telling the guy to get out. So yeah. I've seen it on both spectrums that you could be a very nice guy or a guy that's not so nice.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, Billy asked online, mm-hmm. who do you think should be in the NFL Hall of Fame that is not there yet?
Ooh, one person comes to mind really quick, and I'm a little biased because he was my teammate, was Greg Lloyd. Greg Lloyd has been to five Pro Bowls. He was the AFC Defensive Player of the Year. Really doing his heyday, was probably the most feared linebacker in the NFL during his time. I'm not saying of all time. I'm saying during his time in the 90s, he was really feared. He was a guy that really caused havoc on the corner, can make all kind of plays, very talented guy. I think he should be in it, but he may not get in it because of his reputation as far as in the media is concerned. And then he says some off-the-field incidents that may have cost him too. But I think as a football player, if you really go back and look at it, I think Greg Lloyd definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I also think Brian Mitchell, the great return guy from the Washington Redskins, should be a part of it. I think Larry Sinners has a strong argument to be a part of it. Yeah, so those are the three guys that I know right now that kind of really stand out to me that should be a part of the Hall of Fame. But there's probably a lot of guys who deserve to get in, and then there are guys probably won't get in as well. So
yeah,
we'll see.
It you never know with that kind of thing. And LaVon is modest. He was a part of the folks that were nominated for the College Football Hall of Fame this year and didn't make it this year. But how does that work? And once you're nominated, they can bring you back again, right?
I guess they can bring you back in again.
Right.
Man, the guys that I went against, man, they were amazing guys, like a pal of mine, LeVar Arrington. Guys like that, man, who really stand out as far as a player was concerned. A lot of people remember him at Penn State. Those guys got in, and I can understand that. But, you know, I look at my career in college, and you know, I got 19 sacks in a time that they didn't really pass the ball a whole lot.
Right.
I mean, made a lot of plays behind the line of scrimmage. Was a guy who intercepted the ball a couple of times, actually took one back to the house. So I think my career was favorable, but I mean, you know, it's not me that's voting it in. I mean, it's just I'm nominated, and so it's up to other people. So it's really basically out of my control.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, if you go back and look at the time that you were there, you have a hell of an argument to be a part of those players.
So. Yeah, I think so too. You know, and you know, it's just people just kind of looking at it. You know, sometimes you know. You get kind of lost in the shuffle. You know, they see bigger names and they think like, wow, this guy was a player. I think even in my time, I was really a highlight player in this region, but just not all over the country. Even though I was really one of the first underclassmen to be a finalist for the Buckus Award my junior year.
Right.
I mean, I made All-American twice, All-ACC three times. I don't think I was a really highlighted guy as far as the nation is concerned.
Do you think that's because of the television coverage?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I guess I'm starting to feel like I'm the old man screaming at the sky and I'm old, but back when you played in college, being on TV wasn't a thing every week. I mean, you'd have certain games that you just didn't get to watch.
Right. And now you can watch pretty much any game you really want to watch now. And a lot of guys on TV, but I think if you would have had the TV covers that they have now, there would be no doubt that the guys that I played linebacker with would have been greatly noticed, kind of like what the the power rankings were for Clemson. I mean, we were right. that good as well. We were the number one defense also. And I think that we would have been on display a whole lot more. And you saw how really good the Clemson defense was. But like you said, you know, it was when it was. And I don't regret that at one bit. If I get voted into the College Hall of Fame, it'd be awesome. It'd be great. But like I said, it's not under my control. I can't control that.
Well, we got a couple of questions here from some comments. We'll take those. Jordan wants to know, what was the transition like going from playing for Coach Ford to playing for Coach Hatfield?
Needless to say, it was different.
Of course it was.
It was a lot different. And I think there was, that transition was so different. You know, because now Coach Ford was a guy that was a tough-nosed kind of coach. But he really understood his guys. He understood the players. And Coach Ford could talk to anybody. So his relationship skills were excellent. I mean, he seemed like a dirt farmer coaching college football with tobacco in his mouth and all that. And maybe he wasn't as polished as most coaches do in an interview, but you're talking about could recruit. Understood how to develop players, and also knew how to have a relationship with people all over the scope. Now, I think Coach Hatfield was a little bit more buttoned up, but Coach Hatfield was a guy that, you know, he wanted to bring in his Christian values, and it didn't always mess with frankly, some of the guys we had on the team. It just didn't kind of go together.
Different culture.
Yeah, it was just such a different culture.
Not to mock Coach Hatfield.
No, but I thought Coach Hatfield was an excellent man, and me and Coach Hatfield got along very, very well. We really did, but he didn't seem to connect with everybody on the team.
A couple more questions here before we go to break. They want to know, do you think that James Skalski has a shot to get drafted and play?
Ooh, I don't know if he's going to get drafted. I think he's an energy guy. It's kind of like what Boulware was before. And if you know how the draft worked, you know, I think that most teams will say, well, you can get him later. You don't have to get him in the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh. I think he's a guy that's going to be drafted. If he's going to be drafted, he's going to be in the later rounds. I think a team has to really, really like him. I think across the board, he probably doesn't meet all the measurables. But, I mean, he's a really good college football player. I just don't think, in my opinion, at this time, I don't know if he's going to get drafted. But he'll get a shot to try out on someone's team. And, you know, a lot of times that's all you need. You just need the opportunity to get on the team and show everybody what you can do.
Get some of that tape. Maybe go to the CFL and play a little bit.
Yeah,
get some more tape up there. Who knows?
You just never know. It's all about going to the right team, the right organization.
One more comment from YouTube. He says, tell LeVon that even though I was a Hardy Nickerson fan and hated seeing him leave on free agency, that he always respected the shoes that you filled. So there you go with that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, LeVon Kirkland joining us in studio. You can, of course, call at 803-978-1832. Got a great question from Billy about LeVon's thoughts on the transfer portal and the early signing period. We'll get into that when we come back. This is The Rundown. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. 803-978-1832. You can call in and join the show. And, of course, LeVon Kirkland joining us in studio here today. Be sure to chime in, 803-978-1832. We've got a question about, Billy wants to know, what's your opinion on the transfer portal and NIL? Man, you would have made some cash in the NIL.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, I do like it. I do like the fact that guys can make money off their likeness. I think that's only right. I'm not a big fan of the transfer portal because it seems to be something that's trending, and I don't know if there's enough education about going in. And I think a lot of times guys may get lost in, well, my partner went in and he got a starting job somewhere else. But that may not be the case for everyone. But I think it's a different day. I can understand if you're a player and you're not playing and you want to play, you feel like you can play. And, you know, you made a decision at 18 that maybe you're not as happy with. And maybe you need to, like, okay, let me reevaluate that. And maybe I need to go somewhere else. Man, people are killing student athletes who are not as mature, as developed as adults are. And they're like, oh, you're not lawyer. You were never all in. And I just think in a lot of ways that's ridiculous. Now, from being a competitor, I believe in competition. Right. I believe in, hey, I don't have the job yet, but I am going to work to get that job.
Right.
But sometimes, man, it's political too. You know that you're not going to play. You just know that you're not going to get in, so why stay there if you have an opportunity to go somewhere and play? But am I a huge fan of the transfer portal? I would have to say no, I'm not.
Well, but look, we can just look at your career. I mean, you went there and you thought when you went to Clemson, I'm going to play for Danny Ford.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, towards the end of your career, now I've got to play for Coach Hatfield. And it's no disrespect to Coach Hatfield, but mm-hmm. he's completely different from what you – when you were recruited, it's a different bag of goods, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
So I don't have problems with guys. If your coach leaves,
yeah,
then I think that you should be able to go because you're not, you know, that coach left.
Yeah. And I agree with that. I'm going
to
tell everybody one thing that happened to me, and I love Coach Ford to death. When he was going to leave, a lot of us, you know, we were upset, of course. We were winning, and we were thinking that why is this happening? And we didn't know the whole background or anything like that. But I remember on the news, and they were showing what Coach Ford was going to get for leaving and getting fired. I mean, all the perks that he was going to get. And you know what my mindset was? Coach Ford's going to be okay.
Yeah,
I got to do what's best for my career and what's good for me, because Coach Ford – and the other coaches are going to find jobs. If I was to leave and say I'm not going to play, they would have took my scholarship. My parents did not have money for me to go to Clemson. So right. being on an athletic scholarship was a big deal for me.
Right.
So I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to play. Because there was a point in time where a lot of guys were not going to play for Ken Hatfield. They were going to protest this whole thing. And after I saw what Coach Ford was making and what he was getting for leaving, I'm like, you know what? He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine. I need to make sure that I'm going to be well as well. I mean, that sounds kind of crazy, well as well.
Can you imagine the world back then if social media was there and, oh, man, and the stuff that's going on behind the scenes that none of us ever heard about.
Right.
But just from that story with the transition from Coach Ford to Coach Hatfield,
mm-hmm.
wow, what a mess.
That would have been a mess for us. A lot of guys would have left. And then, you know, I'm just thanking God that we didn't have camera phones or anything like that during that time, because you might have saw some stuff that you didn't want to see. So, yeah, I was glad that we played in the late 80s and the early 90s.
You know, with that though, you've coached some linebackers in college too.
Sure, yeah.
And it was obviously different from when you were in college to when you were coaching there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have issues with relating to younger folks and telling them, "Look, you gotta do this grind if you want to get to where you want to be"?
You know, actually, I have an excellent story about that. I was coaching at FAMU, which is in Florida, Tallahassee, Florida. And I had a young man that I really liked. And now, I never had problems relating with young people. And I really don't. I really love young people. I've always, you know, ever since I was a kid, I just relate to younger people. But anyway, it was this guy, and his name was Sean. And Sean was a pretty decent linebacker. So he comes into my office one day, and he's like, "Coach Kirk, man, what I got to do to make it to the league?" I looked at him, and I said, "Sean, you're not going to the league." And he looked at me like, "What? What do you mean?" Because, you know, your coach is supposed to be supportive, right?
Right.
But I believe in being kind of real.
Honest.
And so I was like, "Listen," I pulled his file from my desk, and I'm like, "Sean, you have not worked out one time during the season. This is his senior year, and he has not worked out one time." And I said, "You know what, Sean?" I said, You know what most scouts, where they go to first? I said they go to the strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah.
And they're going to ask that guy, tell me a little bit about blankety blank. And they're going to look at your sheet and they're going to say, well, Sean, although he may have some talent, he's not a worker. And in the NFL, you have to be a worker. If you're not a worker first and foremost, you have no shot of making it to the NFL.
Let's take a call before we go to break. Oh, they just dropped off there. 803-978-1832. You guys are welcome to call into the program and ask some questions here of LaVon Kirkland joining us in studio today. And we appreciate him taking some time out for us. We're going to talk about the NFL wild card matchups this weekend. His opinion on the NFL now having, it's seven teams in the playoffs?
Yeah,
that's a little bit interesting. We can definitely get into that. And I've got to ask for we got some Georgia fans that follow the show, and they've already let me know that you were 1-1 against Georgia. So maybe we'll talk about those games as well. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back with more with LaVon Kirkland here on The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Sports radio done only the way Fox can do it.
Always something to talk about. There's always controversy.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Welcome back to The Rundown on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. You guys feel free to join us here on the program. 803-978-1832 as LaVon Kirkland joins us in studio today. We were talking during the break, and hey, you could catch that on the Fox Sports Radio Facebook page. Billy asked who was the toughest player you had to tackle, and you said that it was Barry Sanders.
It was
tough,
Barry,
right?
Sanders, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, there were not many guys that I was afraid of hitting or afraid of going against.
Right.
Really none. He was the guy that I was like, ugh, got to go against Barry today. It's going to be a little tough. So.
Well, you couldn't really – when I watch Barry Sanders, and of course I don't have the acumen that you've had of playing and all that stuff, but – in my opinion, he never took a clean shot.
I don't remember him taking many clean shots.
I never remembered any, like, you know, and you see some of the great running backs that are out there now, and they'll get hit a little bit.
Yes.
You know, but in all the time that I watched Barry Sanders play, nobody ever really just hit him just one good time. It just never happened.
No, you really didn't get a straight up hit, like we always like to say. He was phenomenal as far as balance was concerned. A lot of people looked at him as a short player, but he wasn't. He wasn't. People would say, "Well, he's not very big." Well, he wasn't very tall.
Yeah,
but he was very muscular. His legs were tremendous. So he was a very strong guy, low to the ground, could really juke you out. Probably could run over you, but he didn't really do that a whole lot. But Barry, you could hold Barry down. The funny thing about Barry is you can hold him down for three quarters, and then in the fourth quarter, he'll have 180 yards.
That's insane.
So he was insanely good.
All right, let's go out to the phones, and welcome into The Rundown. Good afternoon.
What's up, Rob? It's Megan. Great show.
Thank you, sir. What's up, man?
Mr. Kirkland, I did have a question for you. I realize recruiting is so different now than it was in your day. I just wondered, was there anyone else, any other schools who kind of tugged at your heart, or were you dead set on Clemson the entire way through, or how did that shake down?
Let me give you the cleaned up answer for this. Megan wants to know if you were going to go play for his Georgia Bulldogs if you didn't go to Clemson.
You know, Georgia really, you know, they didn't really recruit me at all. Georgia didn't recruit me. Only teams that really recruited me was Clemson and South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I got later on, South Carolina State and Appalachian State offered me scholarships, but I already committed to Clemson. So, Georgia, I mean, back then, you didn't know, like, a player like me, I wasn't really highly recruited. So, I really didn't get interest from anybody except for people in my state, which I almost didn't really get a lot of interest there as well. I mean, you're talking about barely getting recruited. I barely got recruited. So, no, Georgia didn't give me an opportunity.
There you go.
Well, considering who was running the show at Georgia at the time, that does not surprise me. So, hey, I wanted one last question. You know, most of us, just regular adults who you never get to play at your level, we kind of look back, and high school is always our glory days.
Sure.
As you look back at your career, whether it was college or pro, was there one specific span of time or one group of guys you really consider, you know, being the glory days for you, whether it was college or even high school or pros?
You know, actually, it happened on all three levels. You know, I played with my cousin in high school, Tracy Kirkland, and we were called Kirkland Crush. So for a young bunch of high school guys, that was great. I was part of a group called the Four Horsemen in high school when we were running track. College, I was a part of the number one linebacker unit in the nation at one time, and also the number one defense as well. So that was a special group. But I'm telling you, in Pittsburgh, I was a part of Greg Lloyd, Kevin Green, Chad Brown, and myself. And we end up being the number seven linebacker group of all time. And that was indeed a special group because you're playing with some of the best guys, man. And they only push you. I mean, Greg and Kevin, man, they push young Chad and myself to be the very best that we can possibly be. And it was a lot of fun playing with those guys. It really was. So I had special groups throughout my career from high school to pro. But, boy, if I look back on it, that bunch I was with in Pittsburgh was exceptionally special.
There you go, Began.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you coming on, man. I'll never forget watching you play. You were something special, man.
I appreciate it.
We'll see you.
Yeah. There you go. Uh-huh. All right, 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. That is the number to call if you want to join us here on The Rundown. And I've got to ask you this question because I think you posted something about it on Facebook, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Okay.
But you did work with Coach Aarons, and he had some off-field stuff he had to deal with this year with Antonio Brown, who I think is a hell of a wide receiver.
He is.
I mean, on the field, he's still great, even at 30.
No question.
I think he's 31, but
yeah.
It seems like there's just some stuff up there that you can't get one and two together. But do you agree with the way that the Buccaneers handled it? And Coach Aarons from the press conference, did you see the clip? I mean, he looked legitimately angry at the end of that game.
Yeah. You know, my whole problem with it is that I don't think AB handled it in a professional way.
Right.
And my thing is, you don't ever go to the head coach if you're hurt. If I'm hurt on the field, the protocol is to go to the trainer and say, like, hey, we had a guy named Norwig. I'd be like, Norwig, man, my ankle is killing me. They would say, okay, let's go check it out. They would check it out, and then Norwig would report to Bill Cowher and say, hey, I think Kirk is down. We're going to take him back and get some x-rays. And Coach Cowher may not like it, but he understand because now that's coming from a professional medical staff person that says that, hey, this is not just LeVon saying this, but this is us saying that we don't believe Kirk can play.
Right.
So I think with AB having that confrontation between him and Bruce Aarons, I think that was the problem. And then also, too, I don't agree with AB leaving the field that he did. And if he had an ankle injury, what was all the jumping around in the end zone all about?
He looked like a track star leaving the field.
He looked like he was fine to me. And so that's the issue I had. And you could tell that other people had that issue because Mike Evans was trying to stop him for doing that. Like, calm down, cool out. Because sometimes you do get emotional. I'm not saying that you don't get emotional. I'm not saying that Bruce Aarons didn't get emotional because knowing B.A., he did because, I mean, B.A. is just like that. But B.A. is a hell of a coach. I just think that I just didn't like the way that A.B. left the field. He kind of left in a lot of ways that can be looked at as selfish because in any kind of sport, any kind of team sport, your teammates matter. And you want to play right. Because they depend on you as well to feed their families, to get that paycheck. They depend on you as well. And so I think the way he left was just very unprofessional. And I don't agree with that. All the other stuff, I don't really know. I wasn't there, so I don't really know. But I know the protocol is if I'm hurt, I'm going to go to the trainer.
Right.
And I'm going to tell the trainer so the trainer can tell the head coach. Now, the head coach may not like it initially, but he's going to have to deal with it because a professional came to him and say, like, hey, we're going to have to do something with AB. He's really banged up. Now, as a coach, you understand. You're like, okay, well, we're going to have to do without him. But I think if AB went to BA for that, then I think AB was wrong. And it's kind of funny saying BA, AB this whole time.
Yeah. One of the weirdest things that happened in the NFL this season. Let's go back out to the phones and welcome into the rundown. Good afternoon.
Hey, Rob, how you doing? I just wanted to ask LeVon a question about what his stance or his opinion on how the NFL does business with the way they treat fan bases and essentially say to a city like, hey, either you build me a $1 billion stadium or we're leaving. And pretty much NFL teams and owners having no loyalty to the city and the fans that they would see they reside in. That's it. Thank you.
And I think he's referring to obviously the easiest example is what the Colts leaving and going to Baltimore and things like that, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to say that teams don't have any loyalty, but I would say that, you know, for a lot of them, it's business, though. It's about making money. Don't ever believe that it's not. The NFL is in the business of making money, especially for the owners. And a lot of times, they take that loyalty that you have and they tie you up with it. They put it against you. Oh, well, if you guys are loyal, you guys will keep us and you guys will make a stadium for us and you will pay that tax because we're a part of the community.
Right.
Don't you want us to be a part of the community? Do you really want us to leave? Aren't we the heartbeat of your city? And people be like, yeah, wow, we can't lose the Steelers or anybody like that. Well, if you don't want to lose us, you know, vote for the tax bill to keep us here. And they're in the market of making money. And so a team can say, like, hey, we'll go over here. They want a football team real bad. They'll do whatever we have to say. And that's just how it is. I don't know if it's fair or not. Probably not. But I'm just telling you that's just the way that most NFL teams, they operate, you know. They operate in that fashion. And in a lot of ways, I get it.
Of course, I said the Colts. I was talking about the Browns. The Browns went to Baltimore, and then remember when the Rams were in St. Louis?
They were in St. Louis at one point in time. Yeah,
and then they moved back.
And they're just
LA
like, "See you later."
It's amazing how stuff like that works out. All right, we'll take a quick break. Final segment with LeVon Kirkland joining us today. We're going to do playoff stuff when we come back. We'll get his picks for the games this weekend, and of course, as you know, I do my picks on Friday too. But we'll see what LeVon thinks of my picks and get his as well here on The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to The Rundown here on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. LeVon Kirkland joining us in studio today. Edwin had a question. We're going to get this quickly here before we give our wild card picks. He wants to know your thoughts on the movement towards more individualism in the NFL and now in college. Obviously, I'm old, it says, so it makes me crazy, but you played at a time that wasn't quite so individualistic. Do you think that we're at a point now where it's more about me than it is about the team?
Of course. I mean, look at society, look at Facebook, look at Instagram. Everybody is an author of something. They're either author of an opinion, they're author of a video that they make. So the world is more individualism, I guess, if that's the word. So you think the players are not going to be more so? Yeah, of course they are.
All right, let's look at some picks here. We'll get our picks for the wild card weekend. The first game is on Saturday at 4:30. You've got the Raiders playing at the Bengals. Of course, the Raiders playing with an interim coach, it's the first time in NFL history where someone else took over in the middle of the season and the team made the playoffs.
Right.
Do the Raiders have enough to go in there and beat Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and those guys up at Cincinnati.
Yeah, you know, I really do like the Raiders. And, you know, the coach was actually a coach at Clemson and a coach at the University of South Carolina at one point in time. So a lot of me wants to go for the Raiders, but I don't know if they have enough firepower to really last with the Cincinnati Bengals. The Bengals seem to be really on all points as far as the passing game, their offense. So I think it's going to be a tough game. I think only thing you have to worry about with Cincinnati is that they are a young team that haven't been in the playoffs. So there's going to be a lot of distractions there. There's going to be a lot of hoopla that the Bengals are not accustomed to. So we can see if they can handle that. So I think the pressure is on the Bengals to win, but I think they should pull it off.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Bengals to take that matchup there and end in the Cinderella season there for the Raiders. Then we go to New England and Buffalo. New England having to actually go on the road to play up there in Buffalo, which is basically Canada. Let's just be honest. It's going to be cold and probably miserable up there. Are you going to go with Belichick or the folks with the Bills?
I'm going to go with Belichick on this one. I think the Patriots defense is playing very well. Belichick is known to take away your best option. And he's going to take away Allen. He's going to take away the quarterback for the Buffalo Bills and make everybody else around them beat them. So I really feel that the Patriots, they're accustomed to the weather, so the weather won't be a big deal for them. They have been a playoff team for, you know, besides last year.
Right.
They've been to the big game numerous times. So I think the experience will get – I think this is going to be more of an upset. I really believe that the Patriots have a chance to beat the Bills up in Canada, as you say.
Yeah, up in Canada. All right. So next matchup is Philadelphia on the road at Tampa Bay. The Eagles are running that – we talk about my buddy Edwin says he's an old-school guy. Man, they're just running the football. We're going to tell you we're going to run and then stop us.
Right.
I think that eventually ends, though, probably at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, you would think like, oh, this would be an easy one, but there are some injuries on the defensive side of Tampa Bay, so it may make it a little bit more difficult, but you would think that with Tom Brady's experience, their know-how, their being back there, Could the Eagles pull it off? They could pull it off, but I just think that Tampa's too strong for them.
Ndamukong Suh. I love Ndamukong Suh. He's just a mean, nasty.
I like the other guy that plays the tackle.
Yeah, I know you're talking about. His name slips my head there, but
Villa. I think it's Villa.
Yeah,
Villa.
Those two.
Like Villa. Villa is a monster.
Yeah, I've been on a kick. Ndamukong Suh should have won the Heisman his senior year, but they only give it to pretty boys that play quarterback. So
you know what? I think that he probably should have won that year.
He probably should have. But anyway, we can have that conversation at another point. San Francisco and Dallas. That's the 4:30 matchup. Man, this is like an old school NFL type thing there. San Francisco coming in with a lot of blood and guts, and Dak Prescott and the boys at Dallas, man, they need a playoff win, don't they?
They really do need a playoff win. But the scary thing about the 49ers, and I've watched the 49ers play this year, is the 49ers will absolutely fight you. They will fight you. And it's to me, in the playoffs, it's about the team who's willing to fight you to the end.
Right.
I think the 49ers are I think this is going to be a really tough game for Dallas. And I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to go ahead and pick the Dallas. I'm not the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to go ahead and pick the 49ers.
You stole my upset. I like San Francisco just because I don't trust Dallas at all, but that's just me. I have hatred for the Cowboys.
Wow, really?
I can't stand the Cowboys. I don't know why. I'm a Green Bay fan, so we're watching this weekend from afar. But Pittsburgh and Kansas City, Sunday night game. Pittsburgh having to go on the road. This could be Big Ben's last game in the NFL, but Kansas City is strong.
Yeah, if you're any Pittsburgh Steelers fans out there that listen to me cover years, Kansas City's going to win this game.
Yeah, okay.
They're going to win this game, and it probably won't even be that close.
I don't foresee that as well. And then the final matchup, a Monday night game.
Monday night.
I don't know if I'm all about a Monday night. I'm telling you,
there goes that machine called the NFL, man. They know how to market everybody. They know how to do it.
Well, if you think about it, from Saturday at 4:30 until Monday night at midnight. I mean, you're going to have NFL all over the place.
I'd say there's no happier people than the people who own business, piece of business and wings.
Exactly.
So those people are going to be tremendously happy because their profits are going to go way, way up. So, yeah, Monday night game, that's going to seem kind of crazy, right?
Arizona playing on the road at the Chargers.
Yes.
I kind of like the Chargers.
Is it the Chargers they're playing?
I'm sorry. No, it's the L.A. Rams. I'm sorry. Right. I was thinking the Chargers. Ooh. It's the L.A. Rams. Yeah, and they call them the Hollywood Rams.
The Hollywood Rams, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I Kyler Murray, all 5'8" of him, you know, he's going to be out there doing his thing. I'd feel better if they had Nuke Hopkins back there for him to throw the ball to. But
I would too. And then the Cardinals have really been kind of playing on a downward trend than I would say the Rams are. I think the Rams are just a better team, especially on offense.
Right. All right. So we both picked the Rams to win that matchup. Now, LeVon had fun today, I believe. He said he's going to come back.
Yes.
And we're going to have him in through the playoffs. So on Friday, get your playoff questions lined up, all your football stuff, including stuff like this from Billy. Who was the, quote, dirtiest player that you played against? Don't out anybody on your team, because I've heard about some of those guys.
Yeah, there were some guys that were dirty on my team.
Yeah.
I wasn't one of those guys, but for me, it was a guy named Doug Wydell that used to play with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He was the center. And Doug would always try to get in my head. He would always try to make me angry, upset. And just one time, he blocked me in my back, and I swear I almost killed that guy. Anybody who played against me or played on the same team knew that if you hit me in my back, that was a fight. I don't know why that triggered me so much, because you know what I thought? I thought it was a BS move, because in football, between the whistles, man, you can get physical, tough as much as you want to. But if you're going to hit me in my back, I just think there's a honor code that you don't do that.
Yeah.
And so that would trigger me more than anything. So Doug was probably the dirtiest player that I faced. But I think the all-time guy in my time was probably, what was his name, the linebacker? I forget his name, from Denver.
Romanowski
was probably the dirtiest guy. When you spit on a man, that's dirty.
All right, LeVon Kirkland joining us on the program. We appreciate it. He's going to join us back next week as we talk playoffs. And, appreciate him coming in, and we'll see you on Monday.